Thank you, Pastor Gan, for your warm welcome. And we thank God for the kind invitation from the session to minister God's word. I greet you all in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Truly blessed be the name of the Lord. We sang earlier on about the wonderful name of Jesus. His name is wonderful. Philippians 2 reminds us, God exalted Christ and gave him a name that is above all names. The memory verse that we just recited reminds us, you know, for unto us a son is given. And all the wonderful names, the wonderful counselor, the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Such a wonderful Savior, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, is unto us. You know, and so in that blessed name, once again, I greet you all. We are just a few days away from Christmas, and I want to say Christmas can be a dangerous time. And when I say dangerous time, I'm not referring to the traffic jams at Orchard shopping malls or in that area, or those who are trying to take a break and trying to go to JB and getting stuck in the Woodlands checkpoint. I'm talking about the familiar story of Christmas, a story that we also are familiar with. We think about the Good Shepherds. We think about the angels, the wise men. We think about all the joy of Christmas, the carols. But we forget Christ. We forget Christ in Christmas. And I'm sure you all will agree with me that the world has forgotten about Christ in Christmas. Let me illustrate this with a little story. A father had two sons and one daughter. You know, and father had worked very hard, like many of the older generation, worked very hard to raise these two sons and one daughter, given sacrificially everything so that the kids can get better education and a better lifestyle. Well, the kids did well. They did well in their education. They became successful. They climbed all the ladders of success. The father, by this time, has become an old man. And the children decided that they should remember all the sacrifices that dad has done. And his birthday was just around the corner, the 80th birthday. So they decided that they will throw a big party. A big party for the dad and celebrate together with all the friends and the neighbors. The party date came and the dad was very excited for the children's gratitude and all the love that they have shown throughout the years. And the dad dressed in the best dress that he can and he waited in the living room. And then the youngest son came to him and said, "Dad, my dear dad, this living room space, I have reserved it for my friends and my boss. You know, would you please, you know, make your way to the big bedroom? You know, that is a very nice and comfortable place for you." So the dad, being kind and generous, moved to the bedroom. Later, the elder son came and told to the dad, "Dad, I have also invited many friends, and you know that some of my friends like to drink. And I have designated this room for our little party. Would you please make the way to the sister's room?" Well, the dad did exactly as the elder son has told the dad. Later on, the sister came and said, me and my friends have gone shopping and we are going to try out all the dresses. Dad, would you please sit in near to the kitchen area? The servants found the dad obstructing them in the kitchen area and asked, "The neighbors have come over and their house is empty. Why don't you go and sit there? It is a very comfortable place to sit and rest and as we celebrate the birthday." Well, in all this little story, it tells us about one truth which is repeated time and time again in the Christmas season. Whose birthday they were celebrating? The dad's 80th birthday. But they forgot the reason for the celebration. This story will look distant and unreal for us, but it is repeated time and time again every Christmas by millions, if not billions, where people forget Christ in Christmas. We have given place to party, but we have taken away praise. We have given place to glory of man, friends, and the glamour. And we want to boast great things about ourselves, our family, and all that we have achieved in this year. But we have forgotten to give glory to God. We have forgotten the greatest gift, the gift of the eternal Son and the eternal life through that Son unto us. And we remember the temporal, the perishable gift in Christmas. Like that story, we have forgotten the real reason why we are celebrating Christmas. And I want to remind you this morning, as we gather a few days away from Christmas, that Christmas is more than the gifts, the boxes, the bows, the ribbons, the trees, the tinsels, the lights. Christmas is definitely much more than the ho-ho-hos of Santa and the ha-ha-has of our fellowship. It is about Christ. Christ is a reason for this season. And we must, as children of God, remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. For unto us, a son is given. For unto us, the son is given so that we will become the sons and daughters of God. Truly, the essence of Christmas is that. The Son of God became the Son of Man so that the sons of men can become the sons of God. You know, Christmas reminds us of God's love for you and me. So in all the celebrations, in all the meals and the feastings and the joy and the abundance and all the laughter, don't forget that good name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, by which he has blessed us and given us all things. You know, and that is why the angels can bring this glad tidings in Luke chapter 2 and 10 and 11. We are reminded, "Fear not, for behold, I bring good tidings of great joy. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." The glad tidings is about not Santa who came to the town, but Christ who came to the earth on that first Christmas. A Savior is born, who is none other than Christ Jesus, our Lord. A name that is above all names. A name to which every knee shall bow and tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Now, our passage is taken from Matthew chapter 2, you know, where wise men seek Christ. But Christmas is not a story about we seeking God, because we know Christianity is never about we seeking God, but it is all about God seeking us. And that's what we are told in Matthew chapter 1. Both the human origin and the divine, the earthly origin and the divine origin of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the genealogy, we find not only the prophecies of the Old Testament being fulfilled and how Jesus is the son of David, but in the virgin conception, we see the divine origin. His birth is not natural, yet he is born of a woman. Jesus is both 100% man and 100% God. You know, and he, the God-man, Jesus, the God-man, you know, uniquely qualified to be our Savior. God sent Jesus Christ into this world for you and me, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, is the message every Christmas brings to us. Let us not forget Christ in Christmas. And if you are able to see this wonderful truth, like Jesus saying to Peter, of all men, you are most blessed. Because what you are able to acknowledge is not revealed by flesh and blood, but is revealed by my Father in heaven. And we thank God as we celebrate Christmas, few days away from Christmas, as we prepare our hearts, we can thank God for sending Jesus unto me, a Savior, my Lord. And this is not revealed to us by God. And that's why Jesus in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, specifically we are told in Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, he shall be called Jesus, and he shall save his people from their sins. Jesus was sent by God so that he can save you and me from our sins. Well, when we look at Matthew chapter 2, we find the story of Christmas and all that happened in that few years being responded by three different groups in three different ways. And that is my focus. You know, the three kinds of response we see here in Matthew chapter 2. First is the response by Herod the king, and that we find in verses 1, 2, and 3. Let's read it. Matthew chapter 2 and verse 1 to 3. And now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east of Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And he gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together and demanded of them where Christ should be born. Here we find Herod the king, who heard about the birth of Jesus Christ and was troubled in his heart. Why he was troubled in his heart? Because he was always a suspicious tyrant who will eliminate anyone who had a remote chance of challenging his rule. The historian, which records much about Herod the Great, especially Josephus, tells us about King Herod. And and it is written by the historians in this way. King Herod was a paranoid tyrant who ended up killing three of his sons on suspicion of treason, putting to death his favorite wife, one of the 10 wives, killing one of his mother-in-laws, drowning a high priest, killing several uncles and cousins, And he wrote a plot to kill a stadium full of Jewish leaders. And he, not forgetting what he did to all the children in the region of Bethlehem, you know, after the wise men did not return as he commanded. Well, we find the story of Christmas being responded by some in this manner, you know, full of hatred. Full of hatred towards Christ and all that Christ stands for. You know, people who still want to live their life their way, who want power, fame, glory, who are only thinking about they and they themselves, nothing else. They don't want Jesus the King to rule over them. And Herod was one of them. And look to verse 7 and 8. So verse 7 and 8, we are told, then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when we have found him, when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come again and worship him also. Lie. A blatant lie. There was no desire to worship. You know, the name of Christ was sought, the birth of Christ was sought with the only one intention, to kill. They had no respect, no honor, no worship given to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, and when he did not succeed, he will do anything to get his desires fulfilled. And that's what we find in verse 9. When they had heard the king had departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood. Verse 13 to 15. You know, where we find verse 13 to 15. And when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he rose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. You know, and earlier on, we are told what Herod did. He commanded every place to be destroyed, you know, because in verse 17, we are told about how the prophecy came to be fulfilled. Verse 16, and Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquiring of the wise men. So here we find the first group of people that we find in the world. People who has nothing to do with Christianity, who know about Jesus, but are filled with only hatred. You know, they may talk things about worship, but they have no desire to worship. But the reality, no matter how powerful you are, as scripture reminds us here, just like Herod, a few years after Jesus was born, died, all men on this earth will die. And all that you are pursuing will be in vain. When God gives us an opportunity to submit yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, the everlasting King, no, we should do that. You know, for what shall it profit, even if you are Herod the King or Herod the Great or a great man in all of your own rights, but you lose your own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? The second group that we find, very quickly, we find that in verse 2 and 3, the scribes And the Jews who were inquired of by King the Herod, you know, regarding, does the scripture really say that Jesus is going to be born the King of the Jews? You know, and verse 4, and when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes of the people together, he demanded all of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet. And they got it right. Micah 5:2 reminds us where Jesus Christ will be born. They knew the scriptures, but so near, yet so far. They know the scripture well, yet they did not follow the wise men to come and worship the king. They were only 5 miles away from Bethlehem. But the wise men who traveled 900 miles all the way from the east, they did not follow them. Now, what is the use of studying God's word or knowing about Christ without the desire to obey Christ and to live for the Lord Jesus Christ? And I think that is a problem with today's Christianity. We all know Jesus Christ, John 3:16, and many wonderful truths of the scripture, and we want to know more about God's word, and that is a wonderful thing to do in our life. But what if we only know, but we don't seek Christ? The wise men sought after Christ. The Jews, the scribes who knew the scripture, did not, you know, seek after Christ. They were only hearers of God's word, not doers. And the scripture reminds us that we must both be hearers and doers to be wise. For a wise man builds his house upon the rock. And that parable is compared to a man who not only hears God's word, but does it. But a foolish man builds his house upon the sand, not that he does not know God's word or hear God's word, but he did not practice it. And there is this big group of people. Every Christmas season and every time in the Christendom, who know, who hear, but does not practice. You know, they want Jesus Christ to be their savior so that not all is lost when they close their eyes upon this earth. But they still want to seek a good life, not a good God. They still want to pursue how they can better their life on this earth. And they give no thought of storing treasures in heaven or being conformed to the image and in the likeness of our Savior and Son who was born on Christmas Day. You know, they are very happy to be present, give a little bit every week unto the Lord. But their heart, their life, they don't go and give it unto the Lord. Compare it to the wise men who came seeking after Christ. They sacrificed their time, their efforts, months away, and took this long journey with only one desire: the revelation that God has given to them. That star, that light that is leading them must lead until they reach home and they find Christ. And until they do what God requires of them, to give their best, to give their all unto Christ. So what was the problem of the Jews and the scribe? They were indifferent to Christ. Nothing moved them. You know, it can be something that can happen to all of us. And we all need to examine our life. That the Word of God that we hear every week not just goes into our ears, but it comes down to our heart. And not just comes into our heart and stays there, but it translates into our life so that we can live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if that is not what is happening, then I think we should ask ourselves what kind of celebration, Christmas celebration, will be. Will it be any different than the earlier story that we heard? Though unreal it seems to be, where we tell Jesus, find another room and stay there. I still love you. Well, we cannot be different to Christ, indifferent to Christ this Christmas. Well, we find the right response that we all should have every day of our life, and especially this Christmas season, and even as we prepare ourselves for the year 2019. And that right response we find from the wise men. The wise men who traveled all the way from the east. You know, I mean, we must get some of the facts right whenever we think about the wise men. You know, we are only told that these wise men were from the east. We don't know much about where they came from. Was it from Asia, China? We don't know where they came from. We also don't know how many were there. We only know there were three gifts given. And so many guests, since there were three gifts given, so there should be three wise men. You know, also from the common songs like Three Kings from the Orient. And so people guess there should be three. We also don't know the nature of the star. Was it a comet or was it an actual star or was it a planet, one of the astronomical miracles that happened that particular year? But we know it was a very unique star because the star moved together with the wise men. You know, it was almost like a GPS, you know, directing them exactly where they need to go and stop right at the location. You know, God who created the heavens and the earth, you know, nothing is impossible with him. And that's the great star, you know, led them, you know, to that true light, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, but what is important is not who they are, where they came from, but what is important is what they did. And what did they do? What did they do? Look to verse 2 and verse 11. Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, saying, "Where is he that is born, the King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him." Verse 11. "And now, when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." What is important is these wise men had one purpose and one goal on this earth. No matter what it takes, our life will be a life of worship. And we will worship nothing else other than our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ. And we must follow that great work of God in our life through this revelation that God has given to this wise man, the star. They were called the wise men because they were learned, maybe. And maybe they are called the wise men because they really sought after Christ. And that is the wisest thing to do in our life. If we seek anything else in the world, it is a foolish thing to do. But if we seek Christ in our life, that is the wisest thing to do. Is this not what Solomon, the wisest man, told us?
Vanity of vanity, all is vanity. Everything else is meaningless. You know, we all are born seekers. We all are constantly seeking something. But if you are not seeking Christ, our life will be all futile. A young man may do his best to look good, go to gym, you know, but things may happen in his life. A girlfriend may dump him, or things may not work well in his life, and he will get disappointed with life. You know, similarly, we know about all the areas of our life. There's a little story told about, there's a true story told about a kindergarten teacher who desired one day to marry a prince, you know, and that reality happened, and she was happily married with children. Things were going very well until things started to fall apart. You know, there was no meaning in life until the princess one day dies in a car accident. And of course, I'm talking about Princess Diana. Everything in life is there. But life without Christ can be meaningless. You know, and these wise men were wise because they sought the right thing. They sought Christ, you know, the Creator, the Savior, the Lord, you know, and they desired only to worship the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So this Christmas, ask yourself this question: are you a wise man? Is Christ on your Christmas list? Are you seeking Christ? Are you desiring to be more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? If not, what are we living for? The allurements of the world and all that is there is truly enticing. And it is so hard to live. Narrow is a road, and it's not an easy road. But yet, we should say like the disciples, to whither shall we go? You have the words of the eternal life. You are my Savior. And if there is one thing that we should seek, it should be Christ. We should be wise men this Christmas, like these wise men, because they knew what they are searching. And they persisted in their search. And when they found it, they worshiped him. Honor Christ. Glorify Christ. Live for Christ. You know, that's what all will matter. You know, and when all the other houses will crumble, you know, you will know that what you have done for Christ will last. And these wise men are also called wise, you know, because they risked all to seek Jesus. I'm sure they would have initial disappointment. I mean, if there is going to be someone who is born the king of the Jews, he got to be in a palace. So they went to Herod the king. And they were thinking something glamorous, something great in knowing Jesus or following Jesus and worshiping. There should be something that is so great. But all these things did not disappoint them. Even though they reached Jesus and found him in the house. That shows it was not exactly on the Christmas day they reached to Jesus. But they found Jesus and Mary in a house. It should have been a few years later. But whenever it was, but what is important is they took all the trouble. You know, there was no jet travel. You know, it should have taken them weeks and months. There were no comfortable dwellings. There were no McDonald's drive-through along the way. There would have been nights in the cold, constant danger of robbers, but yet they persisted. Now, persisted on the long journey with all the gifts that they want to offer to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And they found Jesus and worshipped him. You know, are you willing to take risk for Jesus? Are you willing to take steps of faith for Christ this Christmas and in the new year that is ahead? You know, they came and found Jesus in the house, and in humility, they humbled themselves, you know, bowed and presented the gifts to the Savior and worshipped him. You know, truly, genuine worship that is costly can be seen in this wise men. The wise men presented and gave their best unto the Lord. So this Christmas, we want to ask ourselves this question: are you wise in giving your best unto the Lord? In your service, in your efforts, in all that God has given to you, in your devotions, in knowing more about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2019 is just around the corner. We don't know how many of us will be able to enter into 2019 in this world. And we don't know how many of you will be able to cross 2019, because our life is in the hands of our sovereign God. But no matter when the end comes, our life must be a life of wisdom, and we must live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And there is another reason why these wise men are called wise men, and they be found in verse 12. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. These wise men were obedient to God. There are a few Christian words that should be dear to every Christian. And I often think about it even as I reflect on my own life. And those is not only remembering what God has done for us, that Jesus has paid the penalty in full, our past, present, and future sins are forgiven, but the importance of repentance, the importance of submission to God, the importance of obedience. All these words should be very, very dear to us. And these wise men were wise men because they were completely obedient to God. You know, they returned to their home another route, a changed life, almost like a description of a changed life. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You know, these wise men obeyed Christ and returned another route. So this morning, as we consider this passage from Matthew chapter 2, there are three types of people in this story. There are those like Herod who hear of Jesus and are hostile toward him. They want to eliminate him from their lives because he threatens their running of show. There are those who are like the Jewish priests and scribes who know about Jesus and can quote Bible references about him, but they are indifferent to him. They don't go out all the way to seek him. And there are those like wise men. They respond to God's revelation. They overcome every hindrance and obstacles so that they can find Christ and be with Christ and live a life for Christ. Which group describes you the best this Christmas? Jesus is the reason for this season. The Son of God became Son of Man so that we can become the sons and daughters of God. You know, and so this Christmas, the question is not what God has given to us. He has already done it on the first Christmas, and Christ has completed his work. But the question remains, what will you give the Savior? Don't push him to another room. Give him your all. Give him something of value. Give him something that is personal. A time, you know, start a daily journal. You know, spend time each day in prayer, Bible study. Put aside your phone, technology, and think about Christ. Seek him. Be wise. Find a quiet place to sing songs unto the Lord. Spend some time in prayer, praying for your church leaders, praying for the ministries, praying for others, lost friends, those who are lost in the world. Give something that is truly Christ-like. Mend a quarrel. You know, extend forgiveness. You know, listen to someone whom you have always ignored. Reach out to someone who is lonely. You know, tell someone how much you truly care and love. And give your time and sincere love. Show your sincere love to the person. You know, remember Christ in this Christmas. So is Jesus Christ, his glory and his worship on your Christmas list. I pray that this word, that like the wise men seek Christ, will not just be remembered now, but as you plan all the plans that you have for 2019, you will, like this wise man, seek Christ. So may this Christmas truly be the turning point for your life, you know, and may the peace and the joy of the Lord be yours today and forevermore. And may each and every one of us present this morning, you know, on my and my family's behalf, we wish you all a truly happy and Christ-honoring, blessed Christmas. You know, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that we love you not because we are someone great, but we love you because you have first loved us. We were ungodly enemies of the cross, far, far away from the truth. But like that bright star that shined, the light of the Lord Jesus Christ shined in the darkness of our heart and led us to the true light, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for your mercy, that we are, like these wise men, able to follow and to seek Christ and to know Christ and to worship Christ. O Lord, we ask forgiveness, for many times we have behaved like the world, where we have forgotten Christ in Christmas. We only thought about all the other things, but forgotten our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, this Christmas to be wise unto Thee, that our life will truly be a representation of what God has done, and we'll live for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Bless the congregation, even as we hear God's word and later depart. May this be applied in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.